This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by our friends at Harry's, for guys like you who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code FILMSACK when you check out. That's Harry's, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com.
How many men have you shot since you became a marshal, Mr. Cogburn?
I never shot nobody. I didn't have to.
That was not the question. How many?
Shot or killed?
Oh, let's restrict it to killed so we may have a manageable figure.
Well, 12 to 15 stopping men in flight and defending myself.
12 to 15.
I won't rest until Tom Chaney's barking in hell. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment. My name is Scott Johnson. This is episode 235, and I'm joined by and with Brian LaBeef Dunaway.
Well, howdy, partners. I'm Rooster Cockburn, the one-eyed cowboy marshal, and I always get my man, even though I couldn't get the leading lady that I wanted for this movie. Damn it, Henry, I said Karen Carpenter, not this boy-slash-girl thing you cast me against. I'm Rooster Cockburn, the one-eyed cowboy marshal. Giddy up.
You said Cockburn. That's amazing.
That's right, Cockburn.
Yeah. It wasn't lost on me.
Yeah, the one-eyed cowboy, you get it?
Because yeah, I get it.
Because you call your junk of the one-eyed, whatever.
Like a wiener. I know. Also with us, Randy, hey, it's MASH the Movie's Frank Burns Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian, hold on. Today on Film Sack. I'm looking to get revenge. There's an outlaw who needs killing, and word round town is you fellers are just the man to see about the job. It's a dangerous job. You're going to have to face down bandits who has guns, and they're going to shoot at you. You're going to have to sleep out in the dirt and walk through water and mud and avoid rattlesnakes. For all that, I'm offering to pay you fellers the grand sum of 45 cents each. Don't you sash me with arguments. Okay. 4 bits is as high as I'll go.
Sassin. Yeah. Sassin was a word that came up a lot during this movie for me.
Yeah. Sassin.
Yeah. Like that girl's, there was a deal with sassin. Money. That girl can come with us. She paid her 10 cents. It's like, good Lord, money was free then. Mm-hmm. So weird. Finally with us, Brian, a man with grit, true grit, Ibbot.
Guys, you don't know how lucky you are to have me here for Film Sack today. Mm. Who knows what could have happened to me? I was at this bar last night, and this jerk walks by me with his hot girlfriend and knocks into my arm and makes me almost spill my gin and tonic. So I'm looking this guy up and down, and I say, I believe you bumped my arm, mister, and I've got half a mind to give you a licking. And he turns to me, and he rolls up his sleeves, and he says, I'm giving some thought, mister, to issuing you a writ for a town hall meeting with my fist. So I'm all, I'll tell you frankly, I intend to have you forcibly removed from this location. I'm just the man to do it. There's going to be a hanging, brother, and I'm going to be bringing the hot and fresh peanuts. And everybody fell asleep.
Right? There was so much cowboy talk in this movie.
Which I normally, look,
spend I spend so much time telling each other what they're going to do to each other instead of just shooting.
Yeah. And I didn't realize until this movie, for the first time in a lifetime of watching old John Wayne movies, I didn't realize John Wayne, I always knew John Wayne always plays the same character. But I never realized he only does this one thing, and that is he starts everything he says as a question with the phrase, you mean to tell me?
Right. Well, he doesn't let
me turn that question around on you and ask you.
Yeah. A lot of questions start with the word well, I've noticed, with him.
Yeah. Right. I had to drop my well down too. Well, partner.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
That's where that classic impersonation comes from. Well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you one. And this is him in his, you know, early, this is 61, I want to say he was.
69.
No, 61 years old.
He was 61 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
So he had
69,
only.
69, dude.
He had only, he was coming off of what? Like a good 40-year career at this point.
Coming off of everything.
Off a good burger.
Right. But wasn't he, I mean, I want to say, didn't he have, I mean, he was making movies in the late 30s, right? And then onward? I guess I could look that up. That's a thing you should I should know. But it seemed like he was supposed to be playing younger, but then he played older. He got nominated for an Oscar for this thing. He won it.
What? Right. He was playing younger. He wanted to. He was supposed to be playing 40, but I wasn't buying that at all.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. I don't like the timeline of the character. And actually, I'll let you do Scott Fletcher while I put together.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. All right. Real quick to answer that other question. His first film was in 1926.
Jeez. It was like 19.
Yeah, and he's doing all this stuff through the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And then
lot of uncredited roles, like all the way up until 1929.
But when did he get those credits? Was it later on when he was like however old he was and he kept going, yeah, I was in that movie. Put it down for that. I was in that one too. Put me down for that one.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably like, you know, you're in this stable of extras that they can just pull from anytime to stick in the background and cheer or throw your fist or whatever.
Did you see Wilford Brimley in this movie?
No, I looked for him too.
And Brian Dunaway, the thing about you can't just make claims if they can't go and look at the movie you're talking about and see.
I've been to the Internet Movie Database. Yes, you can.
But I'm saying, okay, anybody on the internet can, but John Wayne can't. He can't point at an old movie and say, I was in that scene, and then they go look at it.
On YouTube, yes. Mister.
See it on YouTube. All right, here he is, Scott Fletcher, that is, explaining more.
True Grit. Teenage tomboy Matty Ross enlists the help of crusty lawman Rooster Cogburn to track down the hired hand who murdered her father. Joining them is Texas Ranger LaBeouf, who's after the killer for a different crime.
LaBeouf. LaBeouf is the...
LaBeouf, which is French for the beef.
Yeah, I remember in the Coen Brothers one, hearing the name LaBeouf, and going into that movie, having read the book ages ago, forever ago, don't remember it at all, like high school, and only seeing the Coen Brothers movie, never saw the 68 one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I remember thinking, well, LaBeouf's sure a stupid name, but it was in the book. It was in there the whole time, and then to hear it again with Glenn Campbell attached to it, that was a little weird.
Right.
Brian, give us a quick Brian Ibbett breakdown of why Glenn Campbell mattered in 1968.
Because he was the rhinestone cowboy. I mean, he was basically anything that he was big with the top 10 at that point, right? I mean, the stuff that he was doing was selling albums, was selling selling records, being on the radio. So attaching him to this was a big deal.
My answer to this question is, if this exact thing had gone down in the 90s, this would have been Garth Brooks in this role.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Seriously.
Did he sing the opening song?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, did the opening song not reveal everything in the whole movie? Was it not one of those classic country songs where it's like, we're fisting to tell you a story, sit down, and it's, you know, they kind of go through the whole thing?
Well, let's hit right here. Here is some.
One day, little girl, the sadness will leave your face.
It's so inappropriate for a Western. Right. I hated it.
It really was.
Yeah.
And, but
I understand.
Really, like,
I understand the kind of camp quality of it. Like when
it felt like Django. I mean, mm-hmm. I like opening theme songs that give you a history of the character, or tell you about the character, or tell you about the movie you're going to watch. That's why I like the James Bond themes so much. Yeah. Is that they're so good at that.
It's important to point out. It's important to point out. Glenn Campbell didn't write or produce that song. That was an Elmer Bernstein song that was written by Don Black. He probably came into the studio and looked over a sheet of music and started strumming a guitar. So it's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like giving him any credit for it, although he did win a Golden Globe for it, so he got some credit.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
That shows you where music was at in movies in 1968.
Yeah, but it also shows you, so like when Tarantino turns around and does Django and uses the Django theme straight out of the old one we saw here on FilmSack, he does it in this knowing, ironic way. Like, it is not meant to be, ooh, what an epic, sweeping tune this is. It's, this is weird. It doesn't fit. It never really fit very well. Like, why is this a thing? But it was a thing, so therefore it fits really well. And Tarantino's great with music matching his scenes and things.
For sure.
So was, but in this case, this is without irony. This is just shitty.
Right. One last quick thing about...
Westerns? Go ahead.
One last quick thing about Glenn Campbell before we move off of him. 2008, he released an all-cover album called Meet Glenn Campbell, on which he covers U2, Green Day, Foo Fighters, and more.
How is all that? Is that good? You have it.
It's actually pretty good. I've played a couple of them on the show. His Green Day cover is Good Riddance, Time of Your Life. Hope you had the time of your life.
Oh, wow, really?
And it's exactly what you think it would be. His Foo Fighters cover is Times Like These, and it fits perfectly with his voice. Like, it's, you know, it's a good stripped down song.
But is it goofy, though? Does it come off as like,
no,
this is
no, bad? It doesn't come across like the Pat Boone thing. Mm. You know, the Pat Boone was like, just was kind of this big joke about, hey, I can do Ozzy Osbourne in this hipster swinging style.
Yeah.
These seem very genuine tributes.
Mm. Well, yeah. He had his time in the sun. I would argue perhaps the sunniest part of the Hollywood time was True Grit. I can't think of too much else where I go, oh, yeah, remember him?
Did we see him in Any Which Way? But, like, wasn't he... I know he did the music for the Every Which Way.
Was he singing the opening song that
told
everything?
Well, he did. He totally did that. But wasn't he in the movie?
Which one did we see? He was in Any Which Way You Can, but I thought we saw the first one.
Well, let's find out. Actor.
I'm pretty sure we saw the first one, and he's not in that one.
He's not in that one. Okay.
The last thing he acted in was in something called Players, a TV series. He played Jesse Dalton in 97. Before that, Rockadoodle, Uphill All the Way. And let's just get down here. Christmas special in Disneyland.
That Elvis knockoff I haven't seen it forever with the rooster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You saw that?
Oh yeah, you hadn't seen that?
No. I haven't even heard of that.
Wasn't that like wasn't that like a what's his name? The who made it? Who did it? Who did Rockadoodle? Who did it? Was it Don Bluth? Don Bluth, right?
No.
Yes.
Yep. Oh yeah, it is Don Bluth.
What are you talking about? Of course it was.
Yeah, but that was one of the bad ones.
Doesn't all dogs go to heaven?
No, dogs. Right? Look, Secret of NIMH, The First Land Before Time. Those are some classics there.
Did you guys ever see the Rodney Dangerfield one?
What? No.
The Rover Dangerfield. Did you ever see that one?
No.
Oh my gosh, you got to see Rover Dangerfield. That is like the best. He's like a dog.
91.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
It was great.
It's directed by, not by anyone we know.
No.
Let's see, 6.0, 91, that came out.
But that's the kind of time period
we're
talking about.
Yeah, he's a dog. That's great.
Right.
Huh.
All right. You've convinced me. And anything that stars a guy named Paxton Whitehead, I'm in.
Come here, Paxton Whitehead. I got to squish you.
Pop you.
Anyway, so this movie, directed by Henry Hathaway. This is the original True Grit. And by the way, preface this by saying that I am a huge fan of the Coen Brothers adaptation of the book.
Oh,
I think it is awesome. I love it. It's in my top 15 or so Westerns of all time. Mm-hmm. And
way grittier.
I mean, it's modern, whatever. But it's also got all the right Coenisms in it. It's also got the right kind of language in it. You talk about these cowboyisms and the things they say. I feel like the new True Grit had way better of that going on, and it was also truer to the book in general. The story was closer to it.
Well, I feel like Jeff Bridges made a much more threatening Rooster Cogburn than John Wayne did.
When he's supposed to be bumbling, or drunk when he's supposed to be drunk. Like, all of that stuff came off as, and maybe it's because, you know, 68's a more sanitized time in movies or something. I don't know. Sure. But
I mean, also just across the board, Matt Damon is better than Glenn Campbell. Jeff Bridges is better than John Wayne, etc.
Wow. You're going to get some hate mail for that.
No,
this
is true. No, I don't think anybody would disagree.
It's a scientific fact.
Well, there's some Twitter followers who today told me the opposite, but I'm in complete agreement with you. I don't know what they're smoking.
This movie lives and dies on Kim Darby, and she does a fine job. Like, it's one of those roles that I wouldn't wish on anybody. Mm. You know, it's just hard.
The new girl was great, though. That Haley,
right?
I
feel like she was better than Kim Darby.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's just,
you know, Kim Darby. You know that in the trivia they talked about John Wayne having serious beef with her being the
serious
lead.
Beef.
Some serious lay beef. It really burned his cock. Yeah. And so he was mad because he felt like he didn't get the leading lady he wanted, which was Karen Carpenter. And, you know, but I think to
Thank
me,
goodness.
Yeah.
But I think, right. I think to me, she's ended up being a great cast because the character that she plays is spot on for how John Wayne felt about her in real life. So I think that was perfect.
Now, if you have no idea who we're talking about and you're like me, Kim Darby is the mom in Better Off Dead.
Right.
French
right.
dressing.
Yep.
Yeah. Frange toast.
That is Kim Darby. Now just take off 20 years and you have this. What is she in this movie? 18?
20.
She's 19, right?
No, she's 20, according to the trivia.
Oh, well, they filmed it, though. the year before.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She'd have been probably 19, yeah. She's playing 14. She's like 19, 20 or something.
You think she's playing 14? Wow.
That's what the book is. She's 14 in the book.
That's right. Bizarre.
That's why Haley Steinfeld at least felt a lot closer to that age and is was closer to that age in 2010 when True Grit came out. They were that stuff, even that stuff held up better in terms of believability because she just seemed older in this.
Right. Well, her boyish good looks went a long way in this. So I know I liked her boyish good looks.
You liked her boyish good looks.
Yeah, right.
She was fine. Whatever she did, as good as she was going to do. I take issue. Okay, I'm totally with you, Randy, on the idea that everybody's better in the Coen Brothers one. Totally agree with that. But as for her supposedly doing a terrible performance and was awful in her character, I think John Wayne's just being a grumpy old piece of shit when he says that. She was fine. She was fine.
Yeah. She was fine. Totally fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he wouldn't talk to her like offset and weird stuff like that. Like he was a real jerk about it.
I feel like he played the character grumpy in the wrong way. Mm. Like he's grumpy in this sort of I'm a old curmudgeon way where Jeff Bridges kind of got it. Mm-hmm. He played the character in a I've seen enough. This I don't need to be doing this. You know, mm-hmm. like less selfish. Mm-hmm. John Wayne's comes across as really selfish.
Yeah, he does. I mean, at the end, he makes a turn. So does Jeff Bridges at the end. But the turn has a different impact. Like the turn toward, you know, I'd rather just be asleep and drinking to I really should do the right thing here and get her home and safe right. is more effective with Jeff Bridges for I don't know what reason. It just is for me than it was. It felt fake and rushed for me in this old one. And I didn't feel the same. Well, part of it I think is because they in this old one it's this sanitized ending of I'm gonna come visit her now that she's got her sling on. I'm gonna take a look at the farmhouse where her dad's buried and we're all gonna make pals again. That's not how the book went down at all. And it happened more like it did in the new movie where she, you know, spoilers here, but she goes off as an older woman to try to track down Cogburn, finds out he's dead, and things kind of resolve in kind of a weird, unsatisfactory way. And that's the way it should be, damn it.
That's the way the story was written, right?
Yeah, that's the way that story is written. As I recall, it has been for, I do not want to pretend like I'm some expert on the book because I'm not, but I remember reading it when I was younger, liking it a lot.
Is this a graphic novel?
No, it's just a book.
No.
It really should be a graphic novel, though. I think it should.
It would be a good graphic novel. Totally, I would read that.
Sure, why not?
I'd read it.
And so Ibbitt, you're the resident take him or leave him Western fan, right?
Right.
You don't care,
right?
Like the rest of us, or like I do. I shouldn't say everybody. I love a Western. Don't care what it is. I'll watch it, even a bad one. I'm in. Did you? It probably doesn't sway you toward wanting to watch more classic Westerns with John Wayne or John Ford movies or any of that.
No, you know what? It doesn't. It doesn't shy me away from other Westerns. I actually really enjoyed this and enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. And I enjoyed it in a different way than I enjoyed the Coen Brothers remake. It kind of makes me want to see the sequel that I had no idea existed with him and...
True Grits.
the Grittening. Right. It was Rooster Cogburn with... Audrey Hepburn, or I'm sorry, Catherine Hepburn.
Oh, so what is? I didn't know they made a sequel either.
Rooster Cogburn.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's see.
Okay,
that's 2000. No, when was this?
1975.
75. Was that his last movie? Was that his last movie? Hold on.
Had to be getting pretty close.
Died in 79.
Right?
Hold on. No, The Shootist was his last Rooster Cogburn year before that. Okay, that's cool. I want to see Brannigan, which was him being Irish and playing a cop in like a modern city.
I know what you want to see.
What?
You want to see him on safari in Africa.
Is that what I want?
That. I've already seen it.
Is that what I want? Let me think about that, whether that's something I want. You know, if I do want that, I still have these things right here like this. Here, hold on. Here you go.
This one's got to be a female. She can't make up her mind which way to go.
Yeah, you know, like...
I thought you were going to play Robocop from last week going, no.
No.
Do you want
I should have.
No, sir.
I totally should have played that, but nay.
No, it was good. It's not making me rush out to watch. If anything, you would make me rush out to watch the remake again and maybe like 310 to Yuma or Unforgiven.
Oh,
more modern.
So good, those movies.
I do like the modern Westerns more than I like the older ones, but
those three you just mentioned are all up in my top 10, probably.
Sure.
Yeah. Like sure. 310,
Silverado
dude.
In there, I'm sure. And
freaking 310 to Yuma.
I never saw Silverado, but 310 to Yuma is excellent. I actually loved it so much that I went back and watched the original.
I went to Yuma.
And they both,
I got the 310, right? And I arrived there at precisely 310.
It actually made me want to watch neo-westerns. Like, as soon as this was over, I was like, I want to watch The Postman, and I want to watch Firefly. And
I do like those,
watch
too.
The Quick and the Dead.
Yeah, I love any of those. I mean, if you ask me why I ever, like, why I even care about the new Mad Max, well, I'm excited for lots of reasons for the new Mad Max movie, but one of the reasons is I want to see how much western-y tropes they throw in there, or if they just go straight to the original source. Actually, those new trailers make me think that movie's just going to be bonkers. Have you guys seen that international trailer? I mean, what the hell are they doing with that movie? It looks insane. But yeah, any post-apocalyptic, I got to wear a cowboy hat again and use a six-shooter revolver deal, freaking sign me up. Any of those movies.
Oh, my God. The trivia for this movie was full of, that's not the right gun. This gun would have this. This gun would have that. And I'm like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, they get real picky about that stuff. Right. Also, it says here in the trivia, John Wayne did not get along with Robert Duvall at all. By the way, whoever caught my MASH the movie reference in the first part of the show, good job. Mm-hmm. They're at home. Mm-hmm. They didn't get along at all, and I guess part of it was because Robert Duvall's well known to be a big time method actor and is kind of a dick on set, if you don't know that.
Right.
At one point, according to this, John Wayne threatened to punch the young method actor if he argued with the director again. I want to be a fly on the wall, dude.
Right. Totally.
Can you imagine?
The old man. Yelling, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see it.
That's what I'm saying. So anyway, he was good. He played the Pepper character, but I will ever be grateful to the Coen brothers for casting that Pepper character with Barry Pepper.
With an actual Pepper.
Yeah. Yeah. How many Peppers working in Hollywood can you even choose from?
Right.
Let alone, by the way, if you search John Wayne in Google, the auto results are John Wayne Gacy, number one.
Yes.
And then John Wayne colon is number two, which is all about his impacted fecal bone.
So are you talking about John Wayne Gacy or are you talking about John Wayne colon?
No, it's not. So here
that was a much worse serial killer.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, John Wayne won an Oscar for this, and I've been told it's the best Oscar acceptance speech in the history of the medium. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but we're going to just quickly listen to the video. I've not previewed this. I don't know if it's
okay.
Any good.
And I have the actual answer to that question. So let's do it, and then I'm gonna.
All right. This looks like Yentl. What's her name? Barbara Streisand. Almost said Walters. It's her starting it.
May I have the envelope, please?
All right. She looks
just
terrible.
In case I forget to ask for it later. Inside is one of the following names. All of whom have been nominated
God, sure
for
did it
best
weird.
Performance by an actor. Peter O'Toole in Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
All right.
Dustin Hoffman in Midnight Cowboy.
Okay.
John Voight in Midnight Cowboy.
Voight.
Richard Burton in Anne of the Thousand Days. And John Wayne in True Grit.
Please hold your applause.
Yeah, dude. All right, here she goes.
I'm not going to tell you.
70s humor.
The winner is John Wayne in True Grit.
All right. I'm going to skip ahead here. Let's get him up on the stage. All right. Kisses her. Still clapping.
If I'd have known that, I'd have put that patch on 34.
Right, here we go.
Wow.
Here we go. All right. Settle in.
If I'd have known that, I'd have put that patch on 35 years earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm no stranger to this podium. I've come up here and picked up these beautiful golden men before, but always for friends. One night I picked up two, one for Admiral John Ford, one for our beloved Gary Cooper. I was very clever and witty that night, the envy of even Bob Hope. But tonight, I don't feel very clever, very witty. I feel very grateful, very humble. And all thanks to many, many people.
All right.
I want to thank the members of the Academy.
Duh.
Play them off.
All you people who are watching
television,
thank you for taking such a warm interest in our glorious industry. Good night.
not bad.
No. That's I wouldn't all say right. It's the best acceptance speech of all time.
I would agree that it isn't. Yeah. Yeah, I think that statement by various people is crazy. I think was fine.
I'll tell you why. Because 23 years ago, we watched Best Supporting Actor field of Ben Kingsley, Michael Lerner, Harvey Keitel, Tommy Lee Jones all lose to Jack Palance, who walked up on stage and said and challenged anyone to call him old and weak, and then got down on his hands and knees and did one-arm push-ups at
and
the
proceeded
Oscars.
To win
like Oscars. like a rat in the maze.
And by the way, won for freaking City Slickers.
Is it so funny in retrospect? You look back and I remember like 94, I don't remember being upset that Forrest Gump won. But sure, man, in retrospect, I'm like, you robbed both Pulp Fiction and Shawshank Redemption. You bastards. Like, it's painful now. Back then, I was like, Tom Hanks, how you doing? Like, no big deal. But man, in retrospect, you're like, what was the Academy thinking? You know what it is? It just proves this is all just bullshit. It's all just garbage.
Well, it's, you know, it's arbitrary popularity contest.
Yes. Yes. And we put so much into it, like the voice of a generation or whatever. And you know, you're looking down there at Richard Burton, who looks like half dead manatee laying on the beach. It's like, is this what they're going to do when they go back and look at Pitt and Clooney? And you know, like, what is it going to feel like in 30 years? I don't know. It's giving me some perspective. That's all I'm saying.
When Robin Williams won for Good Will Hunting, my favorite.
That was a better acceptance speech than the John Wayne one. Mm-hmm. The only cool thing about John Wayne waddling up there and taking that thing was that I know that there are supposedly, even though Snopes tells me isn't true, 40 pounds of fecal matter impacted in his colon as he did it.
So not true.
I know, it's totally not true, but I love that story. It's a great
story. You sure it wasn't a tapeworm?
No, it wasn't anything. He just had colon cancer at the end, but this story that he and Elvis had 40 pounds of impacted poop pulled out of their guts when they died is bullcrap. Right. You would have died a lot sooner than that. It's not literally. It's literally not possible to live that way for like that, 2 days.
That statement is just so full of shit.
One more thing
like
on this 40 subject.
40 pounds of shit.
I challenge anybody who cares to look up the YouTube video for Meryl Streep accepting 3 years ago for her Oscar for The Iron Lady. That acceptance speech is just beautiful, and she deserved it. And she did it exactly how you're supposed to.
She did it my way.
Yeah. What do you mean? She was short and sweet and to the point, or what?
Like she was classy. She was emotional. She was honest. She was just perfect. It's this warm, gracious speech that everybody should watch if you don't remember it.
I like Gladriel last year when she won for that movie. She was good. I liked her acceptance. She was all right in terms of modern stuff, you know?
I love it when they get all political. I love when they use their entire time to go, I'd like to make a political statement now.
Let's talk really quickly about Laos.
Yeah.
Right?
I hate that. You know why? Because then they're doing it. They've puffed up the importance of what they're doing beyond their station. It's like, yeah, great. Spicoli can go over to freaking Africa and then tell us how we're all doing it wrong. That's great. You're just Spicoli. You're a freaking actor. You're no more qualified to go do that. Then my local green grocer, which I've never said in my life before until now.
My green
Your
grocer.
Local green grocer. That's cute.
Why did I say that?
There's definitely a time and place for it when the whole point of the movie was a passion project, like Tom Hanks winning the Oscar for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's I think that's important.
Oh, well, sure. Right, but you can get up and do that because it's part of the movie. But if you get up and go, yeah, thanks, I won. Like, if Denzel Washington would have gone out and said, okay, yeah, Training Day, thanks, everybody, that was awesome, but let me just take a moment and bring your attention to the cause of genital warts and why. Like, it's
great example.
Yeah, we don't need that. Not to throw him under the bus, but you know what I mean.
Although, just imagine Neil Patrick Harris coming back out on stage after that tonight.
Yeah, right? That'll happen. Actually, he's hosting. I keep forgetting. That's happening tonight. Some of you will be watching that. Others of you will be such fans of our show, you'll listen to us before you go watch that. Won't that be
good plan? Time shift the whole thing.
Let's see. This is the only film he ever won an Oscar for. And many people think it was sentimental in choosing him. It was a recognition of a 40-year career. And many critics at the time thought that his actual performance in the film was a little over the top and hammy. Right. Weren't all movies like that, though? I feel like the 60s is no...
Right.
You know,
during this time, I mean, this movie was supposed to be hammy. I don't think it was pretending to be anything else.
I think it was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't speak totally to any, I haven't seen any of his other movies those guys were mentioning. Peter O'Toole, by the way, not at this Oscars. He was not in that audience. I don't know what he was up to, but he was not there. Perhaps he was in Arabia, if you get my drift. Let's see. The character of Rooster Cogburn was supposed to be around 40. We talked about that. He was actually 61 when the film was made. Legendary film actor Jay Silverheels, a.k.a. Tonto from The Lone Ranger, has a uncredited tiny bit part in this movie of the condemned man at hanging. So he's one of the dudes that got hung there.
Was he the one that really went over the top with the leg shaking?
With the legs, because, yeah, the guy the closest to the camera.
Right, two of them were like, we're dead. Another one was like,
yeah. This also features the uncredited film debut of Wilford Brimley. So earlier we talked about it. I still don't know where he was.
I didn't see him.
Even did a Google image search to say, all right, Wilford Brimley, True Grit, so I can know what to look for. Right. There's nothing even on the internet.
No, he's in the background eating some Hershey's.
There's a picture of oatmeal. Him. There's a picture of him. Let's see, Brimley. I found this earlier on my phone. I got to do it again here. But it was, there it is, True Grit. It shows him on a horse. He reminds me of the guy from the new one who had the body that talked to him. Do you remember this scene in the new one where they're out there, we're walking around, and some guy looked like a, it was almost like, who's the other wizard in the new Hobbit movies that's crazy and has bird shit on him all the time?
Radagast.
He was like that.
And he had bird shit crazy.
And he was selling the body that was on his horse or something. Here, I'm going to put this in Skype so you can see it. There you go. So that's supposedly what he looked like, but I don't remember that scene.
I didn't see that.
No. That's definitely newer than 1969.
Is it?
Yes, that is from something else.
Last week at the neighbor's house. Well, then
Crossfire Trail, I think, is what that's from.
Yeah, that's way newer. What is that?
Well, then you're totally right. There's nothing. There's no reference to any of it.
Right.
For some reason, there's a picture of an autopsy. Google Images is psycho, and there's Arnold Schwarzenegger shooting somebody in one of the Terminator movies. Like this. What did I search for here? There's a picture of Darth Vader. Right. And Sammy Hagar. I searched for Wilford Brimley, True Grit.
You know what? I'm going to go to Bing image search and see what I can't find.
All right. Good luck with that.
Oh, so, God, there's the autopsy. That's weird. Oh, is that the impacted fecal matter?
I don't know, dude. But why would it be there? Like any reference to True Grit just automatically means there's going to be a
Jar Jar. Hey, look, there he is.
Jar Jar Binks.
Where?
On Google Bing search.
So, all right, paste it. Link it.
Let's see here. Click it.
Okay. Is it in there?
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm trying to get the... Bing is great at finding the image, but not good. Let me copy the stupid link.
Bing. One step forward, one step... Oh, my good Lord. Yeah, that was a big...
I found it pretty easily. Wilford Brimley is sitting right up front in the court scene.
Oh really?
All right.
I didn't even think to check that. All right. Well, it's no hard target, but it'll do. Big. All right. What else? Let's talk about the movie. So Dennis Hopper's in this. He died slow and funny.
Slow and funny.
I didn't expect to see Dennis Hopper at all. He's kind of a cool looking young actor. And I don't know how early this was in his career. I guess I could look that up. But
it was definitely before Waterworld, but sometime after.
You think? I think it might have been before Waterworld just a bit. Let's see. We're gonna go back in time here, and we're gonna tell you that. Wow, he's been in a lot of movies. All right. 68 was this film. Nothing like a Google search on the radio. Here we go. Easy Rider, then... True Grit and Easy Rider came out same year, according to this.
I know that.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
You know what? I keep saying 68. You guys are right. It's 69. Why do I keep saying 68? Right.
It was filmed in 68, probably.
But released in 69. I mean, you can... From Barbara Streisand's list, I mean, you can see the other things that were released at the same time. Goodbye, Mr. Chips and Midnight Cowboy. Mm-hmm. And...
Midnight Cowboy, that's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
We should have watched that.
Man, he is in True Romance. I forgot about that. Apocalypse Now. Yeah, you know what? Dennis Hopper. He's great.
I hated to have a bigger role in this movie because he would have been fantastic. Yeah, but you know, we didn't know.
I'm gonna squeal, Billy. I'm gonna squeal, and then he gets his hands cut off or whatever.
Oh yeah,
that was pretty brutal for 69.
For 69, totally. Yeah,
I remember kind of going, "Ooh, that's you expect that in movies today, but back then, I guess we didn't have a rating, right? There was no.
Well, there was. It was it got a mature rating. It got an M instead of a G, and they re-edited it.
So I didn't know we had an M back then. Was that an official rating?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure about the rating system that far back. Let me see.
But that and like the stuff near the end was pretty shocking. Just more brutal than I don't know that I thought it would be.
Yeah,
but the blood, you know, when somebody gets shot, it's a lot of, you know, oh, there's a now red stain on your shirt.
Yeah, like Robert Duvall literally had ketchup on his chest.
Right. Right.
And didn't buy that at all.
Even the guy who falls into the snake pit, it's a pretty tame landing.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Scott, do you say ketchup? Ketchup?
I say
it?
I say ketchup. Yep.
Catsup? What do you say? Catsup?
I say ketchup.
I say ketchup.
Ryan I say ketchup, ketchup as well. What do you say, Randy?
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
All right.
Ketchup. Yeah, it's a ketchup. Ketchup is a totally, I think it's, I don't know, it's how I grew up saying it.
Ketchup.
I don't want to say it's per state, but it's certainly regional. Although Ibbot saying ketchup is, and I know that ketchup is right. Like, I know it. I know it.
In my heart.
I know it in my heart, my mind, my bones. I know every part of me knows that that's the way to do it, but I just can't. I can't do it.
And what are in Utah? What do you call a mixture of ketchup and mayonnaise and garlic?
Pink sauce.
Right.
Pink sauce.
Sometimes fry sauce, depends on where you ask.
They really, really worked hard to come up with the. yeah. Oh, let's see, pink sauce.
Yeah, no, it's you go to a place and they'll say, what do you want with that? Do you want fry sauce with that? Like, it depends on the place you go, because they'll ask you, do you want fry sauce? Or they'll say, do you want pink sauce?
You know, I pretty much avoid any place that asks me if I want sauce. I mean, if they label it as sauce, I'm instantly going, did you make this yourself? Did you make, because sauce sounds like it was made in the restaurant.
Really? Well, yeah, but that's good. But there are good sauces, dude. You want like good barbecue sauce.
I don't trust anybody, because I've been a minimum wage worker in the food industry. I don't trust anybody who makes minimum wage in the food industry to provide me a sauce.
Is that because you what have you witnessed? I mean, I saw a guy poop in a bucket of beans at a cheese.
My first job was coleslaw stirrer. And how do you do that? Well, we worked at you literally had your arm and you stuck your arm there, no gloves. You did have to wash your hands at least, but you would stick your arm in like a 20-gallon tub of coleslaw and you would stir in the mayonnaise with your arms. All right.
So really?
And I had friends who gave me all kinds of horror stories, like a friend who used to hawk loogies into the hush puppy batter mix and then cook that. So
I mean, for the record, they would it would burn off any ill effects, but still.
Right.
I just don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Look, as Brian's a guy. I know this of you. You love a good restaurant. You love a good night out. Go out to a nice place, order a cool thing, and ask them what they recommend. And, you know, you like that whole artifice, if I'm not incorrect. I think you really enjoy that thing.
I do. Yeah.
I'm with you. That stuff is great. But Dunaway's right. People are shitting in the beans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. And I know what happens.
For
and
funsies.
I just want to continue to be blissfully unaware that it's happening.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, eventually those people, the guy that pooped in the beans at Chi Chi's, he got not just fired, but like arrested, and like it was a big mess. And the guy
and
went
now
to jail.
Now he's pooping in the beans every day at the prison.
Yeah, probably.
I'm a big fan of sauces. So I wish I could understand. And I think a part of it is, to me, sauces seem more sacrosanct than anything. Like, I realize you're telling me
what that word means.
I realize you're telling me that that people do bad things to sauces. But I don't know. When I like sriracha, I like A1.
That's
things.
Different.
Not really. Sauces, though. Not really. Every bottle of Heinz ketchup, according to the tour guide at the Heinz factory, every Heinz ketchup bottle contains upwards to 7 dead flies in it.
No, it doesn't.
I'm
yes,
okay.
It does.
I'm okay.
I'd like to get the Snopes on that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right along with John Wayne's bowels.
But the guy told my mother-in-law that as she toured the building. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you could, who knows?
Yeah, but look at Phil Hartman giving the tour in So I Married an Axe Murder. I don't think any of those things happened either.
You can call me Vicky. Fair
point. How come every time we talk about John Wayne, we end up on a food discussion?
I don't know. Why is that?
Every time.
Every time. And then also, my God, I can't stand audio work where they focus in on people smacking and chewing and slurping.
Oh, yeah, right. The dinner scene with like everybody. I think it was just like everybody bang your plates as hard as you can.
Yeah. Guess.
Just slurp your chicken bones.
Yeah. Right. Guess what audio I captured. You guys will be thrilled about that.
Oh, excellent.
All right. Here you go. This is from NCSU. official course study. How many insects do you have for breakfast this morning? The answer will surprise you. Despite advances in pest control technology, blah, blah, blah. We'll skip ahead here. These are actual United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, adopted grade standards for how much you can have in your food. Okay? Ketchup. 30 fruit fly eggs per 100 grams is acceptable.
I'm good with that.
Canned corn, 2 insect larvae per 100 grams. Blueberries, 2 maggots per 100 berries. Peanut butter, 50 insect fragments per 100 grams. Fragments are worse than whole ones.
Oh.
Curry powder, don't care. Let's see, wheat, 1 gram of infested, grains infested, it says. Sesame seed, you can have up to 5% of seeds infested. And coffee, 10% of beans infested by bugs. So take that. Wow. And maybe that's all that guy was saying, was like, yeah, we can have that much, or I
right. Do you think there's any bugs in the sriracha sauce there, Randy?
No,
do you think,
there's can they nothing live? Could live in sriracha.
Right. Well, no, we're not saying that there's going to be live bugs.
Right, right, right.
Right, right, it's true.
Dead bugs.
Well, what do you think an egg is? It's a living creature. It's ridiculous.
Here's the deal. Everything we breathe, every time I take a breath in, I'm breathing in something that's living. And every time I breathe out, it's dead cells are coming out. Like, I don't think there's any way to avoid that stuff. I just don't like the big, tangible things. I don't want to bite into my burrito and find half a roach in there, because that's a big textural item. That is an item.
Sure.
And if it's
that
a
is
thing
an unacceptable guideline for the USDA. Every burger can contain one live whole cockroach.
Wiggling and all.
That's only at Burger King.
That's so foul. That is so foul. All right. Anyway, in the end, here's the thing. I didn't like this movie first half. I thought it was kind of long in the tooth, a little boring, a little whatever. I didn't like it. I thought John Wayne was phoning it in. I didn't think it was great. I think the last half is actually pretty good. It kicked way up for me. I can see why everyone liked John Wayne in it. I think by the end, the little sappy ending was maybe not that great, but everything right before that, that was surprisingly like the Coen brothers take. Like, a lot of that stuff was straight out of there. Hold the horse thing in your mouth and two guns blazing and let's play joust in the middle of that field. That was all in there. LaBeouf shooting him from the hill. Like, all that stuff was great. Right. And somebody had told me that the whole scene in the cave and the snake bite was not in the first movie, and that people hated it in the new movie because they didn't understand why it was in there.
Really?
But there it was.
Yeah, yeah. She talked about it for like 20 minutes. It's like, did you see the snake pit? We're going to go to the snake pit shortly.
Yeah.
Snake pit. Step, yeah. There's a snake pit there.
Yeah. Like, they projected it. They didn't even didn't just stumble into it like Haley Steinfeld did. Mm-hmm. Right. They were like, here is a snake pit. We are near the snake pit. And it just kept getting more snake pity as time went on.
Right, most disappointing snake pit ever. It had like one rattlesnake in it. it's more like a snake hangout.
Do you guys notice that they killed that snake in that shot? That's a real snake.
I totally think so. Yeah, yeah, you could totally do that in 69. You could kill a snake.
Well, that's why I wanted to have a little brief discussion about that. Like,
here's your audition process. First, we're going to beat you with a branch. Yeah. Then we're going to shoot you. You okay with that?
Yeah. Yes, he said. He said he'd be happy to do that. So wait a minute, though. Like, I don't know. This is a bad question to bring up without any research, but I wonder when these standards kicked in. Like, when did we start caring about animal treatment on sets?
Well, 68, we were talking about earlier about the ratings. 68 brought in the new ratings, and that's when you got the G and the mature, which was later on PG. So I would probably guess there was a lot of self-regulation going on during that time in Hollywood. I'm going to guess probably late 60s, early 70s, when we really started worrying about animals.
I'm looking it up because I was curious about that. The no animals were harmed, blah, blah, blah. Oh,
that's an interesting article. Now it's
1940? Protecting animals in film since 1940 is
well,
what
they
the...
Did, they probably were pushing for it. You know, they probably didn't get anything anywhere until later.
Right, right, right. But
okay, here's one. A husky dog was punched repeatedly in the diaphragm on Disney's 2006 Antarctic sledding movie 8 Below, starring Paul Walker.
Oh, my God.
Paul Walker did this, you said?
It says here a chipmunk was fatally squashed in Paramount's 2006 Matthew McConaughey, Sarah Jessica Parker romantic comedy Failure to Launch. But
that's
success success in killing the chipmunk, though. Let's see. 2003, dozens of fish and squid were killed in Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. From Johnny Depp's makeup.
This is an interesting article. People should look it up. It's on Hollywood Reporter. It's called "No Animals Were Harmed," and there's a bunch of recent cases where.
I wonder if this is reprinted from the Business Insider one, because it talks about what it really means, like how. Yep, here it is right here. So it's the same thing. The chipmunk fatally squashed.
But see, I don't think that sounds like it was an accident.
Well, was it? I don't remember the movie enough. I remember my eyes were fatally squashed by seeing a former NFL quarterback, what's his name, naked. What's his name? The Fox guy. I can't think of his name.
Fox naked.
Gray balding guy. Always gives the trophy to everybody when they win.
Right.
Fox News. Yeah, come on, help me.
I don't know who the guys you're talking about.
I always thought the whole point of an APCA.
I don't know sports ball.
isn't the point of an APCA monitoring what goes on a movie set just to prevent these sort of things, like to make sure that we don't accidentally just go killing animals?
Mm-hmm. Right. Hollywood's always been about self-policing so that the government doesn't step in. So I mean, rating system, all that stuff is self instituted.
Right. So it seems like we shouldn't be surprised that accidents happen while someone is there trying to prevent accidents from happening. Their prevention makes it, 10 times less likely.
Terry Bradshaw. Sorry.
Terry Bradshaw. Yeah. Do you think that they started off saying, okay, cats, dogs, horses,
people, animals that we love.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And they said, well, all right, it's a snake. Yeah, all right.
Probably.
Nobody cares if you kill a snake.
Sure, beat him with a branch and then shoot him. That's totally fine. Well, maybe we're going to get in trouble for that one. We're including snakes. Mm-hmm. But tarantulas, you can do whatever you want to.
Yeah, because they're gross. Nobody likes those until they're suddenly going out of, they're being extinct.
And then we've reached a point with computers where we can portray anything.
Yeah.
So you don't have to ever actually film a cruelty to a living animal ever again.
And I think that's a good look. I'm not a hippie tree hugging weirdo. I think this is great that we have come so far technically that you can do a subtle effect like that and not have to be a big CGI production and get away with the depiction of something without actually hurting anybody or anything. I think that's awesome. That's something we should strive for. There's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
Right. But there are people listening to me right now. It's like, hell, back in my papa's day, killing a horse was a rite of passage. They should kill horses more often in movies, you pansy, weenie, liberal pieces of...
John Wayne did not shoot his horse after it got... He didn't shoot any horses, right?
Well, in the new one he did. He didn't really, but he shot his fictitious horse in True Grit with Jeff Bridges.
Well, yeah, of course. But I'm talking about in this movie, he just kind of left the horse,
just
right?
Left it there,
Left LaBeef.
Yeah, he left.
Right.
Yeah. Left a whole person back there.
He left the beef.
He implied that he was going to come back. He implied it.
I don't know why that sounds so funny. He left the beef.
He did.
The le beef is on the ground where it shall stay.
This movie's chicken and snake bit right there.
Yeah, no doubt. Spoilers aside, I cannot remember if it was any different in the new one with Bourne Identity there. Did he get left somewhere? Did they bury him? I don't remember what happened with him. Did he die?
Yeah, he didn't even die. He just kind of limped off, right?
Did he? Did he go back to Texas?
I didn't think he died in the new one either, but I couldn't remember.
I don't remember either. All right, I'm going to have to watch that again. And I'm all excited too. Like, I kind of came away with this going, okay, I want to go back. I'm going to go back and watch that one.
Hey, Scott, which end of the gun do you want?
I want the handle, please.
Right. Here's your Pappy's gun. I'm going to point it right at you, and then I'm going to shove it in a bag.
Yeah, give me
that
the handle.
That was weird. I actually ducked.
I didn't see. I was like, well, look out, Sheriff.
Suddenly shaking that gun at her. And then later on, she pulls it out, and it's a gun the size of a Buick.
Texas?
Right. It's huge.
She pulls it out, and none of the chambers have bullets in them, thankfully,
because
she doesn't know what she's doing. It's waggling around here and there.
Yeah.
I don't know how she shot a man with that gun. That's just beyond
He didn't either. He was like, what?
Yeah. Also, I didn't think this story wasn't as good at explaining the guy who shot her dad and like getting into that character, whereas I feel like the new one did a lot better job with playing him. And he was more of a guy you could relate to or understand or at least figure out what kind of loser he was or whatever. This one was like, oh, yeah, a guy killed her dad. I forgot. Now she's in the snake pit.
You know, I was disappointed there was never a moment where she said, you shot my paw. Did not say it one time.
She ever called him paw, right?
Yeah, you shot my paw.
Mm-hmm.
didn't happen.
Kind of a super trope. Like, it's almost too good.
Ooh, a trope. Hold on. We got to play at least once this episode. Mm-hmm. It feels like the movie didn't have a lot of, like, tropey tropes, though.
I felt like it did, because there's, like, things that you see in every Western movie. Like, there's always the little ladies back at the house, and they're always at the front porch to see off the able-bodied men, and they always stay behind with the not-so-able-bodied men.
Yeah.
And it's always that scene. That scene is in all these movies.
If I'd call it a trope, I'd call it more like a terrible... Well, I shouldn't say that either, because like new modern Westerns will play with some of those same mores of like dominant male Western society, whatever, and then what that impacts. So you see something like Deadwood, and they get really deep into what some of those things actually are and mean, instead of just, oh, there they are on the porch waving again. So if anything, we haven't lost those tropes. We've just decided to explore them and get into the mentality of why people act that way, and that I really like that in modern Westerns. I like where it isn't just simply, oh, the saloon's got a bunch of working girls in it. You know, there's more to it than that. I like that a lot. Well, there's your movie. You guys want to do some clippies?
I got
a trope for you.
Oh, give me a trope. Give me.
Okay, so my understanding, based on both the book and what's said in this movie, is that it takes place in the Ozarks, which is to say, like, Arkansas, Missouri, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a backdrop? And it was filmed in southwestern Colorado, mm-hmm. so they're in box canyons and stuff. Have you ever seen a backdrop that looked less like how it was described?
I don't think I've been to the Ozarks. Well, I take that back. The only time I've ever been to the Ozarks was we went to Dollywood.
Oh, isn't you that went the to Ozarks? Dollywood? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you went to Dollywood? That's awesome. You've never talked about that before. That's so cool.
It was when Tina was pregnant.
Did she sing Jolene? Or that's not like she was there.
She wasn't out walking around. Right. Like,
yeah. Look, it's Dolly. So look at her.
Stumble out of bed and go down to concessions.
But let me just finish this trope, because it's got a name. It's called California doubling, they use California to stand in for everything.
Yeah.
This particular version would be Colorado doubling, right? Mm-hmm. Colorado is standing in place of whatever, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And of course, Scott really, really likes the current trend of Vancouver doubling, where
I do.
Vancouver is every city in the planet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they do a hell of a job with that. This new one, the Coen Brothers one, was supposed to be Arkansas, right? But it was mostly in Texas, I think, or something? Like, same deal. They just keep...
No, the movie doesn't take place in Texas, because the character from Texas is from far away.
Right.
Yeah, Lay Boof, Texas.
Sure, but they end up shooting a lot of that new movie in Texas when it was supposed to be Arkansas. And I don't understand why you can't just shoot it in Arkansas. Is it just because they didn't have a good deal there, or there's not, you know, the right... I don't know.
Because you don't kind of mess with Texas. That's
well, the Coen Brothers and stuff like that. The Coen Brothers love West Texas.
Yeah.
And in this new movie, the 2010 version, they specifically say that there it takes place in eastern Oklahoma.
Oh.
They say that, and it doesn't help any.
It doesn't
look like Oklahoma.
You're still like, oh, this is a different state. I'm usually okay with that. It's only when it's recognizable stuff that I get irritated. You know, it's probably the way a doctor works when he sees, like, ER and goes, yeah, that doesn't look like.
Well, it's the way I feel when there's a movie that takes place in Las Vegas, and they're driving down the strip, and they pass the Riviera, and then they pass Mandalay Bay, and then they pass Caesar's Palace, and then they pass the Flamingo, and then they pass the Stratosphere.
All in one, like they've only supposedly gone like four blocks, but.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that is annoying, isn't it?
It's not the right order.
Yeah. Or that, you know, if it's something in Salt Lake, like with that ninja movie we saw. It's everything's immediately recognizable, but then someone will say, "Yeah, we're here in L.A. The hard city or the hard streets of L.A." I'm like, "No, you're in like on 33rd and Main, and that place is stupid safe."
Well, can I give you another trope that I just love in this movie?
Of course, you can. Hold on.
If you mention a man by name enough, you've got to trot him out before the end of the movie.
Yeah, right.
I love Lawyer Daggett.
Lawyer Daggett. I forgot
Lawyer Daggett.
In the 2010 version, Lawyer Daggett actually doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. And instead, you hear his voice, and that voice is J.K. Simmons.
Oh, what?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the voice of J. Noble Daggett in the 2010. Oh,
you're giving me whiplash here.
Get it? Whiplash?
Because he's in that.
Yeah, he's in a Whiplash movie. All right, well, nice catch there. Let's do some clips. Oh, before we do, I'm going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. Hey, guys. Let me talk to you for a minute. Let me get right up in your face here. I'm talking to you men right now. Dudes. Well, I guess some boys, depending on how quickly you're getting your facial hair in. But I'm talking to you. You lady folk, you can just step to the side for a second, because this is specifically about your man. Or you can listen real close and make your guy love you even more by getting them something at harrys.com. I mean, let's admit it. Shaving with a dull blade sucks. Am I right, guys? Sometimes we cut ourselves, scrape ourselves. We draw blood. Dull blades are the worst. And they're expensive to replace, like $4 a blade on average. You could spend hundreds of dollars a year on razors just for like a Gillette Fusion or something. And when you go to the store to buy them, they got to get them behind the glass. You got to go through that whole rigmarole. It's a huge pain in the butt. That's why there's a company fixing all of that for us, and it's called Harry's. They make razors in their own factory in Germany. They engineer them for sharpness and high performance. No more dull blades that suck. Free shipping, too. I mentioned that right to your front door. Free shipping. And because they make and ship all their own blades, it's a more efficient company, which means they can give you factory direct pricing. And they guarantee your satisfaction. I love the Winston set. That's what I use the most. That kit was sent straight to my door. No problems, no issues. Great razor handle, good look and feel. Everybody's jealous who's seen it. Oh, I love it. It's an amazing deal. You get the whole thing for $15. That Truman set is the one that I've been eyeing lately. Anyway, I love these guys. You'll love them too. Go to harrys.com. Get $5 off, your first purchase with the coupon code FILMSACK. That's HARRYS.com. And use the code FILMSACK. Let's save some money. Let's get you something good. That's harrys.com. All right, we're going to do some clips now. Clips include this one. Whoops, Scott, what are you doing there, buddy? All right.
So we're bringing out Clippy to help us with clips. Is that what you said?
It looks like you want to listen to some clips from the movie. Can I help?
Can I press play on this one?
I don't think much of Texas ponies. They're small and chicken brain.
Is that true, Randy? You live in Texas, or you did?
That's the kind of thing. Okay, so in the book, she's always quoting the Bible. And they decided to, in the movies, make her a little more secular, right? Yeah. So they give her all these lines of opinion. She just spouts off her opinion about something.
And mostly about Texas.
Well, yeah. And it's like, how did they ever arrive at this? You know, like, you're trying to demonstrate that she's knowledgeable on something, and this is it? Is what you got?
They did better in the new one with that. She came off as someone with a lot of book learning for her age and a strong understanding of things. She still had a weird bias against anybody in Texas, but it wasn't quite the same. It was more of a rivalry.
Well, you got some book learning.
Yeah. That's about right, actually. All right, here's the kiss him line. I don't know what this is.
You're kissing dad. He's dead.
If you would like to kiss him, it will be all right.
Oh, that. Okay. Yeah, I brought that up because here's why. That is really dumb and kind of innocuous in this one. In the new one, that same line's in there. It is done really, really well. Like, there's that whole creepy scene in the funeral parlor, and that funeral dude kept going, "Now you can, if you want to kiss him, why, that'd be all right." He keeps saying it over and over, and it's a classic Coen Brothers awkward room full of awkwardness. It's awesome.
This lady really could care less about her paw. I mean, I didn't understand her motivation other than what was due her, necessarily. That's a revenge.
Old Westerns were weird about death. They didn't see it as a loss, really. It was more like a reason to be pissed, I guess. But it was never like, nobody grieves in old Westerns, ever. New Westerns, they do all the time. Lots of grief. But in this old stuff, they just were disconnected. He's like, well, he's dead now. May as well leave him here for the birds. Anyway, let's get on the horse.
When she left the funeral home, she was like, they turned on the adventure music, and you know, she was out for the hanging. It was gonna be a good time down in wherever this was.
Yeah.
This movie has no idea what to do with this character. Like the whole movie, every time something happens to her, I'm like, okay, now I'm expecting a reaction. Oh, she's doing something totally different.
Yeah.
Every time. There's a scene where John Campbell knocks her down, holds her down by kneeling on her back, and spanks her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I'm just thinking, okay, now when John Wayne makes him stop, she's going to get up and she's going to go get that Colt Dragoon. No, she's suggesting that they tell stories. What?
Yeah. They had that in the new one too, but it didn't come off as weird. Like, yeah. Right. I don't know.
In her defense, I mean, even if somebody was trying to switch you, we're talking about clothing from whenever time this was, and women wore a lot of stuff. So I don't think that switching would have probably hurt very much. Even though he wasn't really using a switch, he more like took the whole dang branch.
Limbs
and all.
Tree. He treed her.
Tree.
Yeah, there's treed a her. Dozen.
Basically, did to her what she did to the snake.
Yeah. That's so to speak. All right. Here's what did he say? Oh. So here's a guy I can't understand. So here you go.
Can't understand all these people being here.
Man on the train told me everybody coming here from every place.
What?
He went. It was so weird because he went with this really, you know, slave sounding kind of thing that they wanted to kind of portray.
Yeah.
To being more modern. It was really. He only used that accent for like half a second.
Yeah. I didn't understand it at all. Love this guy and the way he talks.
When it opens, you're going to be mighty hungry. The best time for you to nail Rooster would be tomorrow. He's due to testify before Judge Parker in the Wharton case.
That's an old radio voice, see? Back mm-hmm. when they did the radio plays. You know, I hope they don't find you before he does. I love that. It's bad.
It's a hell of a lot better than that.
All right, here's, you guys mentioned this before. People eating is gross, and this movie knew it. So here's that. Oh my gosh, dude.
It's worse than I even remembered watching it.
It's so bad.
It's horrible.
And didn't it feel like that went on for 12 minutes or something?
It did. Yes. Every
slow
time
those pan down the table.
Yeah.
And let's watch Glenn Campbell dig his fingers into the bowl of chicken and dumplings, shall we?
He just showed up. Put his hand in there.
Did you wash your hands?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. LaBeef. Anyway.
Wichita lineman.
Yep. And then they all got quiet again and did this for.
I guess the idea was that you didn't get to eat during the day, so when you actually got to sit down to eat, you ate like animals. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know either. It's annoying. It's a weird idea to portray if you don't. I mean, I don't know what they would base that on. Like, there's no. That seems like a thing the director said. All right, just everyone eat like crazy, make a lot of clanging noises, act like you haven't eaten in months. But based on what? No, there's no historical record that says everybody got together and ate like idiots.
Hey, in modern day Hollywood. The actors are so weight conscious, they don't even eat food anymore. They kind of pick at it.
Yeah.
If you ever see food on screen, it's very rare for them to actually eat it.
They vape it.
Oh, I watched Days of Our Lives for a decade. I cannot believe how many times I saw a group of people sit down to a big meal, talk for 20 minutes, and then just get up and walk away.
Stir the food around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. Two more years, everyone will be vaping their food. You mark my words. Here's a great joke at the table.
Watch out for the chicken and dumplings. They'll hurt your eyes.
How's that?
They'll hurt your eyes looking for the chicken.
You squirrel-headed bastard.
Shut up and eat your chicken.
That's great.
Why doesn't that guy get any more jokes?
I know, right?
Shut up and slurp your chicken.
Here's the, what? Oh, what's with his accent, I wrote.
Mr. Cogburn, you testified for the prosecution this morning. Now, in order to refresh our memories, allow me to summarize what you said.
There's a little Christopher Walken going on with that guy.
Mm.
I could hear. Anyway, I didn't feel like an old West guy.
Lawyer hate in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No one likes a lawyer, dude.
No.
Nobody.
Yeah, what's the movie where lawyers are loved?
Yeah, name it.
The Judge. Just watched it.
Kind of,
also,
yeah.
Also Robert Duvall. Yeah.
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 He's all right. Hold on, let me think. I mean, there are movies, there are shows and movies I love the Judge.
The Lincoln Lawyer.
Ally McBeal.
Oh. Yeah. Because like, that had Spicoli's judge in there, the guy from...
Intolerable Cruelty is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, that's like top 20 for me because it's so fun. You can just put it on and watch it.
That's another Coen Brothers movie.
It does not love lawyers.
No.
No.
That's a weird Coen Brothers movie, isn't it, though? For them, I mean.
Like, yeah, it's very different.
I think it fits with, like, Raising Arizona.
Kind of, yeah. It's got too much love
Brad,
in it.
That Brad Pitt one in the biker shorts. What's that movie?
The one I haven't seen. The only Coen Brothers movie I've never seen. Oh, I haven't seen that and the Jewish guy one.
Yeah, there's one that's that, yeah.
What's that called? A couple years ago.
Solid Man, Mighty Man,
a Solitary Man.
A simple man.
Yeah, I know. A solitary, simple Jewish man.
It's the Jewish man, yeah.
The Jewish man. Let's call it Jewish that. Man. Let's call it that. Jewish man. Power. Yeah, I don't know what that one is, but and I don't know about the one you just mentioned with Brad Pitt, although I always meant to see it, but I didn't. Speaking Serious of J.K. Man. Simmons, he's in that. Serious man? That's it.
Serious Man.
And that was like wedged between True Grit and No Country for Old Men, I think.
So yeah, the one with Brad Pitt and the biker shorts is Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, Burn After Reading, the Raising Arizona, they make a, you know, a quirky comedy every now and then.
Yeah, they know what's up with that. Sure. Mm-hmm. I like those.
And Big Lebowski, great. Fargo, great. Hudsucker Proxy, great. But Burn After Reading just felt so forced and weird.
Didn't love it. I need to check it out.
Raising Arizona. I mean, when you look at their comedies, they're like tongue in cheek. Oh, brother, where art thou?
Mm-hmm. Right. They hit a home run with George Clooney, mm-hmm. and felt like they had to do something again. And you never do. You never should.
Yeah.
Don't try to reclaim the magic.
Yeah.
Well, you did with Big Lebowski and then True Grit. You know, I mean, you hit a home run with Jeff Bridges and then do it again.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You could bring him in a third time for all I care. Let's keep it going. All right, here's them saying the name of the movie. We'd love it when this happens.
Yay.
Here you go. Yeah. A couple times in this one, but here's the first one.
They tell me you're a man with True Grit.
Well, what do you want? Speak up.
I am a man with True Grit.
What are you doing in this coffee can?
Yeah. What's up with the recording this week, Scott?
It's your cavern.
That was them. That was them in that hallway. Them? Yeah, it's got nothing to do with me.
They tell me you're a man with...
Yeah, that's them in the hall.
That's wild.
Here's a racist outside for shooting. What? Racist outside for shooting. Oh, I know what it is. Here you go.
Outside is place for shooting.
That's that guy.
My Chinaman.
The Asian guy, right?
Yeah,
oh, yeah the Chinaman.
There's a trope for you. All those. There's always an Asian guy in these old movies.
Right.
And he's always.
Would you like to buy this box? It's got a gremlin inside.
Don't get it wet.
Comes with Frogurt.
Free Frogurt. All right, baby sister.
Baby sister, I was born game, and I intend to go out that way.
All righty.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Every time baby he calls sister. Her baby sister, I just want to slap him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or sis.
This still kind of permeates through the South. I mean, I hear people calling each other stupid stuff like that all the time still.
Baby sister and things like that?
Baby sister, yeah.
I haven't heard that. I don't know if I've ever heard that.
I hear that kind of crap all the time around here.
All right, well, get down.
It's weird.
Get out of there while you can.
Get out of there, Brian. Get out. You got to run.
All right,
get on your horse and ride.
This is a clip says, Glenn Campbell is a dick, is how I described it. So let's see how it goes.
A little earlier, I gave some thought to stealing a kiss from you, although you are very young. And you're unattractive to boot. But now I'm of a mind to give you 5 or 6 good licks with my belt.
All right. You're dirty old man there.
There's a lot wrong with that one.
Especially when the character's supposed to be 14, man. Come on.
Right. It was so weird because they were all the dudes were trying to court this girl, but she's supposed to be playing like 14, and it's weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's weird to think of the phrase steal a kiss as being defined as sexual assault.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Like
gonna do it even though you're ugly. Yep. No, I'm not even gonna do it. I'm gonna hit you.
I was gonna help you out. I was gonna do you a favor, lady.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I'm pretty sure the 2010 version doesn't read quite like that.
No, it does not. But here is a line. Okay, every once in a while we get phone calls from people that used to know Brian Ibbett in high school. And I got one here. This is from a girl who asked him to prom one year. Usually it's the guy, right? But she broke with tradition and asked him. And I asked why. I said, why'd you ask him? And she answered this.
They say he has grit. I wanted a man with grit.
There you go.
Grit.
Man with grit.
I try to wash it off, but sometimes.
I wanted a man with grit. Let's see. Texas. Oh, this is good.
You Texas brush popper.
There you go. I call that the.
That's what she said.
That's a Colonel Potterism. You yell like horse hockey or.
Right.
Texas.
Horse pucky.
Speaking of which, by the way, do you guys remember the grit thing? Do you guys remember a back of the comic book? You know, on that page where you can buy the x-ray specs and cigarette loads, there was a thing where you could sell a magazine called Grit. You go door to door selling this magazine, Grit.
What was in Grit? What was
I have absolutely no idea.
Oh,
it still exists.
Gotta be something
really?
About it.
Yep, grit.com.
No way.
Seriously.
Grit.com. Oh
yes,
my gosh.
Still exists.
No, this isn't it.
Yeah, it's Grit Magazine, grit.com. Let's see.
Yeah, you
no,
could be a happy, it. Prosperous grit salesman.
Yep.
But grit.com is some home improvement thing.
Maybe that's what grit stands for.
Oh, grit. Good. Give the good life with grit.
Yep.
But this website looks like it was made 1,000 years ago. What? Are we sure this is still in circulation?
Yeah, that's right. It was the thing where you could get, there it is right there. You could get prizes by selling the most subscriptions of grit.
Anybody who read comic books before 95, and maybe still, I just don't know, but older comic books, just every one of them always has an ad trying to get you to sell grit.
I remember the picture of the guy with a sling thing over his the shoulder with a bag full of grit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says right here, look, fellows, you can win your free choice of neat prizes. Right. Regularly. If you're a boy 12 years or older, you could be happy, prosperous grit salesman.
Yeah, there's the kid with the grit bag over his shoulder.
Wow.
You grit bag.
Oh, my gosh.
Shut up, grit bag.
Seriously, grit.com. It's just amazing that it still exists.
Weird.
It's been around for like 100 years.
Why on earth wouldn't they change the name? I
Ooh,
mean,
are you
grit
kidding
is not...
me? They got a darling pet monkey for $18.95. Go ahead, Ip it.
Well, Brian, it must be the grit that for now the home improvement garden thing. Mm-hmm. They probably just use the term like grits like dirt or soil or I don't know.
I mean, it's obviously grit in the same way that the movie describes having true grit. Like mm-hmm. you've got moxie, you've got gumption.
Yeah, this was during the cow, the westerns. So I mean, yeah, absolutely. That would be probably where that's at.
Huh. Grit.
You don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, though. Trust me.
No, but
there is nothing. There's nothing entertaining here. Like
sea monkeys, only for $1.25.
Whoa.
No. But I mean, just with grit. The next thing you know, you're looking at some old PDF that somebody scanned, and you're just like, "What am I doing with my life?"
Oh, I love those kind of rabbit holes. I find myself in them way too often. I really shouldn't do that. All right, we got a couple more here. This one here is Dennis Hopper hopping mad.
We seen Ned and Hayes 2 days ago, McAllister.
You blow it, I'll kill you. I'm played out, Quincy. I gotta have a doctor. I'll tell what I know.
All right. And then he steals the oil and tries to have the guy with the gills on his face killed. All right, great. dialogue that probably got him the Oscar is my thinking here. It's about 30 seconds. Here you go.
I robbed me a federal paymaster and went to Cairo, Illinois, and bought a eating place there called a Green Frog, married a grass widow.
What's a grass widow?
Place had a billiard table.
You never told me you had a wife.
Oh, well, I didn't have her long. My friends was a pack of river rats, and she didn't crave their society, so she up and left me and went back to her first husband, who was clerking in a hardware store in Paducah.
Twerking?
Right. Yes, twerking.
Twerking in a hardware store?
A grass widow. Here's your definition. From grass plus widow. All right, fine. We know that. An unmarried woman who has lived with several different men, a former mistress, or a married woman whose husband is away.
Right. So she's a widow, mm-hmm. but her husband's still alive. He left her laying in the grass.
Yeah.
That's a grass widow.
Yeah. Left her there. That's amazing.
I love that. Then you can just stay in the grass, lady.
Yeah. You're my
just
grass.
Just think about what you've done.
It's a weird term. All right. Here's some. Oh, I laughed here. I don't think I was supposed to, but I did.
You do what you think is best, Ned.
It's when he literally knocked the crap out of LaBeef.
Oh yeah,
who was trying to get him to shut up?
Right, that's right.
Speaking of shut up,
my God, I wanted somebody to shoot that guy.
Yeah,
right. I didn't. I wanted him. I wanted more lines for that guy.
I think he was in the new
more
one.
More animal impersonations, dude.
The new one, he features more. He's a regular sidekick to the bad dude scenes and is not
and
as annoying.
He must die.
He's not as annoying, and he does die, but he's way more in that new one. He's barely in it in this one. Okay, how about this one right here?
Am I addressing Marshal Reuben J. Cogburn?
You're addressing him, Chen Lee, and General Sterling Price.
So that guy's, who's the lawyer guy?
Jay Noble Daggett.
Yeah, he's in a million Disney things, right? Isn't that the voice?
Yeah. Am I addressing Marshall?
That guy's like one of the Winnie the Pooh characters. I think Piglet.
Yeah, he is.
That's who that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
That name is just so freaking familiar every time I hear it. Big Disney voice. All right, here's some of the sweet Western music. That's great. They don't do that anymore.
That is good stuff.
They don't do that anymore.
Okay, now you just shifted over to the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah. Which they're remaking again. I'm so excited. They're making a new one.
Kind of sweeping, like.
They're making a new one, you guys. I'm so freaking pumped. I don't even care if it's bad. Bring that movie out again. All right.
You got to remake everything that was ever great so Chris Pratt can have a career.
Right? It's kind of happening. What you're saying is happening. Like that, we kid, but not really. They're going to put Chris Pratt in everything from now on.
Everything.
And he's
going to be Indiana Jones. He's going to be Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
He's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
There's going to be a Lego movie too.
He'll
probably Star Wars 2017, whatever that sequel is. Why not bring him in? Roguish freaking Han Solo character.
That's right.
I'm telling
Larry
you.
Solo.
It's going to be it's going to be bad, and we're all going to hit peak Pratt and go, we shouldn't have had so much Pratt. Mm-hmm. Right now it's fine.
Too much Jude Law.
Yeah, we need Jude Law back in here. What's up with that?
Who did we get too much of? I mean, within 5 years of his or her debut.
Oh, well, Jude Law was I think a good example, because in the '90s, late '90s, early 2000s, yeah. Jude Law was in everything.
Yeah, best thing he did though was Road to Redemption. So good.
Perdition.
Perdition is what I meant. What did I say? Road to Redemption. What the hell's that?
Doesn't even the Shawshank. Road to Perdition.
The Shawshank prediction.
Who did we get? Brian Dunaway. Who did we get too much of within a few years of their debut?
Oh, man. Happens so often.
Johnny Depp. I know it's later
in
his career.
No, not really.
He takes off like 10 years later, though. He suddenly... Yeah,
Elizabeth Banks. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. She was in... Yeah.
Everything.
Hold on. There's more, though. Oh, you know who right now? It's Melissa McCarthy right now.
Oh, yeah, right.
Too much.
I am sick and tired of Channing Tatum right now.
Really?
Right now?
I am not. Not
right
me.
This second.
Well, okay, I have been for years.
5 years ago?
I have been for years. Channing Tatum 2 years ago is Ryan Gosling 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of Gosling, wasn't there? Yeah.
How is this guy in everything?
There was this with Vin Diesel for a while, although now people are fond of him again. I'm trying to think. There's got to be a good definitive list of this, but there's definitely people to come.
It felt out a few years ago like Joseph Gordon-Levitt was about to be in everything.
Yeah, I think he's been smart about being independent with some things, and then doing some other like lower profile things, and then he'll be in something big. And I feel like he's managing his stuff okay.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody else. Who else? That's it. That's all I got.
It's Chris Pratt, man.
Chris Pratt. We're headed toward that. It's going to be Chris Pratt all the time, everywhere.
I like him, but I think you guys are right. I think it's
unfortunate because he is great. He's deserving of all this.
He's like a kid whose parents are out of town and there's a 12-pack of Pepsi. He's like, ooh, I'm going to have a Pepsi. Ooh, I'm going to have another Pepsi. I'm going to line up 4 Pepsis, open them all and drink them all right here.
Yeah, and by 1 o'clock, you're going, Pepsi. Blah, 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 blah. Exactly. You're yakking all over the couch. All right.
Hearing it.
Final clip. This is his last words. Here you go.
Well, come see a fat old man sometime.
All right.
All right, fat old man. Didn't you fight somebody? Yeah, he was fighting somebody earlier for them words.
And then blur, freeze frame, and then weird credits, because back then they didn't know how to do credits right.
I love that, just the end. Like, no eight pages of CGI text. And
yeah, it said, thanks.
Everything was up front.
It just said, thanks to the Department of Agriculture, something, 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 out. Right. Drop the mic, leave.
True grit out.
Yep, true grit out.
Mic drop.
All right, let's now get to the checklist. This is the checklist, and here's the music for it. '60s era happy ending change from the book, check. Real snake killing on film was okay in '69, check. Made me want to watch the new one, check. Star Trek stuff. We got Ron Sobel, who played Captain Boots Finch in this. TOS played Wyatt Earp in the episode Spectre of the Gun. So two cowboys. Kim Darby played Maddie Ross, and TOS played Miri in the episode Miri. This would have been a few years earlier, I guess.
And she had previously starred with William Shatner in what? Gunsmoke?
Really? Wow. I'm down with that. That'd be great.
I'm forgetting. I looked this up the other day and I've totally forgotten now, but this her Star Trek. No, it was after the Star Trek appearance.
Mm-hmm.
She's on Star Trek, and then later she's in a movie called The People with William Shatner.
That sounds right. John Fielder, he's the lawyer Daggett. In TOS, he played Mr. Hankst or Jack the Ripper in the episode Wolf in the Fold. I remember that.
Oh.
Jeff Corey, Tom Chaney. He played Tom Chaney in TOS, played Plaz in the episode The Cloud Minders. And then finally, Alfred Ryder was Gowdy. I think he was the one that made the chicken noises. He was on TOS, played Robert Carter in the episode The Man Trap. Soundtrack grade, I'd give this movie an AFTT for appropriate for the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's not what I'd choose today. But it was fine for what it was.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Just fine.
Now's time for a Twitter post. It's where you guys round it up in 140 characters or less. It basically, your snapshot of what you think this movie is. Let's start with Randy.
True Grit. A famous yet cranky drunk teams up with a blonde singer that he doesn't like, and they piss off everyone. So, it's Van Halen, 1985.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, it's so true and painful to hear that, but true. Next, Randy, or no, Brian Dunaway. There's only one Randy. There's two Brians.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Will, True Grit, like making it to your destination safely, only to have your captor kick to the ground again, bastard. Don't shade me, LaBeef.
Rat bastard.
Every time, man. It's like every time in this movie somebody made it to their destination, their captor would kick them right in the butt.
Yep. That was the way it was back in the old West, the old times. Finally with us, or not with us, summing it up on his Twitter post, Brian Ibbett.
True Grit. Maddie Ross hires Rooster Cogburn to capture the man who killed her father. Amazing cast, including John Wayne, Robert Duvall, and the lady from Pamplemousse.
Oh, my gosh. Weird. She looks just like her.
She does, yeah.
Well, let's hope she doesn't turn out like her now, because she looked weird now. Not Pompomus lady? No, the actress.
Oh,
Kim Darby. She looks real weird now.
Yeah, she looks like a librarian.
She looks like Crazy Cat Lady.
She looks like that bird that goes all the time in that movie.
The Dark Crystal.
The Dark Crystal, yeah.
Yes.
I hated that. All right. Woo, look, handed to me now. Hold on. Here, look. I wonder if this candy sounds like paper because I couldn't find any paper. Anyway, this is the alternate title just handed to me. Cranky One-Eyed Bastard or Impacted Fecal Matter Man. Let's go to the emails. We got a couple emails. One from Doug who wrote in and says, hello, Doug here from Atlanta. Atlanta Doug. On a recent episode, I heard Randy mention a performance by Ash K. Kumar in relation to the Jackie Chan movie you guys were reviewing. I'm a big fan of Kumar and of Bollywood. Suddenly it hit me. Have you ever thought about reviewing a Bollywood film? These movies are all in Hindi, so I know it would be hard to play clips, but maybe we'll find a way to work around that. I've seen several Bollywood films, and some of them are quite good. I think it'd be interesting to see your take on them. How about it? Take care, Doug. Well, I assume plenty of them have VO, like, you know, dub. They're not all just Hindi right. language. We should be able to get English stuff. But where would we even start?
Need a recommendation on the one to watch.
There's actually one that I've been wanting to... I can't remember, though. I saw some clips from it, and it's just outrageously hilarious with this... I think it's kind of like a... He's a cop, and he's doing all these crazy moves and flips. I saw it on YouTube a while back, and I'm trying to remember what the name of the movie was. But it was very film sacky.
There's so many to choose from. I'd love to hear what... you know, what other fans of Bollywood films think would be good for sacking. Uh-huh. The first thing that came to mind for me was a more recent film called Three Idiots. And I don't know why, it just sounds like it should be the name of a podcast on the Frog Pants Network.
Right. I just sent you guys the link. It's called Singham or Singham.
Well, okay.
Go ahead.
Singham, it's called?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, that's loud.
To celebrate this plan. Oh, is it something you just sent us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, let's play it. Oh my gosh.
Yes, we need to watch this.
That's amazing.
Oh, is it getting right over him?
Wow, that is loud though, isn't it? This YouTube video. So does this go over him?
Oh no. Oh yes. No, this is awesome.
I'm in love. Okay. That's awesome. Can we see that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we need to see
Can
that.
We find Singham with American subtitles, please? Someone out there.
I don't think this is such a visual movie. I don't even know if we even need subtitles.
Right, exactly.
I kind of like the rule that FilmSack movies need to have some English dialogue for us to listen to.
Yeah, especially if it's one of these shows. If we do a live view, that's different. Maybe we can get away with that. But
yep, not on Netflix.
All right.
And of course, just last year, they put out the sequel, Singham Returns. Mm-hmm. That's pretty exciting. Dude.
That guy's Singham, I assume. The guy that steps out of his car ready to shoot a
gun. A.J. Devon.
He's the man. What is with the mustache? That's the thing with these Indian movies. What the hell is going on over there?
YouTube has the full movie with subtitles.
They do?
just looking to see.
Is it nonstop like that? Like that action?
I have no idea.
The only scenes I've ever seen from it are like that.
The one I saw recently was that weird like Matrix-y looking robot guy that turned into a giant ball. And had all the machine guns that popped out of him. What was that called?
We actually that actually might that. Be this.
Well, I don't think so. We actually got sent that. But I don't know what happened to it. I moved right after we got it. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Mm. Anyway, yes, we like your idea, Doug. We'll dig in. We'll see what we can find. Bernie Walter also wrote in and says, hey, guys, just finished listening to the film sack about RoboCop 2. I agree with Scott that maybe there was a sliver of an idea that could have been way better. Also, RoboCop looked like he could have easily been pushed over or something. Sporty, he wasn't. Anywho, I leave you with two reasons why you have to review RoboCop 3. Okay, you guys ready for this? Two reasons. Mm-hmm. Number one, flying RoboCop. Ooh, all right, intriguing.
I'm in.
Two, samurai ninja robots. Love the show, Bernie. All right, maybe we're in. I mean, I know we've been hesitant on 3, but maybe we need to see all of them. Because we're going to see the new one. We have that on the list now.
We're definitely going to watch the new one. We can't turn away from the fact that it's streaming. Like, we have to watch the new RoboCop.
Yeah. And then since 3's on there, I don't know. I feel like we should.
I actually enjoyed the new RoboCop, so that's going to be...
I haven't seen it, so I want to see it.
Right. I know Iceworm hates it, right? And the one he hates?
Yeah, but don't worry, he'll be fine. He can hate it all he wants.
He'll get over it.
Yeah, he'll get over it. I'm looking, for example, at... True. Let's see. Oh, we got Total Recall next.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I cannot believe how long it's taken us, A, to have that stream, and B, to do a thing for it.
Yes.
I mean, that was when I was even saying maybe we should hold that till Nerdtacular.
For a live Nerdtacular, but yeah.
I think we do it while it's live. We got to get it.
I think so, too.
It's there. We have to take advantage of it. But yeah, we got, let's see, down the road. Look forward to RoboCop, the new one, somewhere in April. That's the plan.
Something like that, yeah. And after that, we're going to watch Turbulence, the Ray Liotta, Lauren Holly movie. The first one. Mm-hmm. There's multiple Turbulences. Mm. We're watching the first one.
That's a Ray Liotta joint?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to watch Surf Nazis Must Die. Finally. That has been lingering in our future for too long. We've got to make it happen.
Years, it I think. Wouldn't you say years? That seems about years to me since we've been talking about
it. Yeah, it's a 1987 film starring a bunch of 80s middling character actors.
Mm. Cyborg after that, is that that's another Van Damme?
Yes, okay. Jean-Claude Van Damme returns to Film Sack with Cyborg.
All right, I'm into all this. Ooh, that 241's got to go. I'm not watching that again.
What?
Freaking Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I can't watch it again. I just watched it. It sucks. It's not good. Ugh. Oh, I used to love it. It's just hated
it. It does not hold up. But I think that might be the thing, though, right?
Oh, yeah, but it means watching it again. I just watched this like a month ago with the kids.
Well, don't veto it. Give us another four weeks.
All right, we'll see.
4 weeks from now, you'll be willing to watch it with us.
Flush it out of my system completely by then. If you want to send in your own emails, you can. It's real simple. filmsack@gmail.com. While I'm at it, let me tell you where our website is, filmsack.com. Thanks for all the great participation there. Keep that coming. You can also chat to us on Twitter, @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes, wherever podcasts are sold. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
There's a hole in my boot.
Baby sister.
audio program so good, it's like you're there.